It's time now for Tiger Talk Overtime.
We should embrace playing the gold standard of this conference right now. You should welcome that. You should want that. You should want that experience. It should burn within you to say, I want that opportunity.
Nobody split. Give the ball up and over and in. I believe. Touchdown Auburn. Well, that was sure second effort by Bo Jackson. He just got hit behind the line of scrimmage. Everybody knew what was coming. Alabama knew what was coming. Bo Jackson just on sure effort got it.
Out of shotgun, Patrick Nix. Alabama bringing everybody. Nix is going to float one for Sanders. Sanders, oh, he caught it with the boot, and he dived in. Touchdown, Auburn! Touchdown, Auburn! Oh, my goodness!
Carnell Williams at the tailback. They'll hand it off to Williams up the middle. 25, cuts it inside. 30, 35, 40. There goes Cadillac. To the 50, to the 40, to the 30, to the 20, to the 15, 10. Go crazy, Cadillac! Go crazy! Touchdown! Auburn's going to win the football game! Auburn's going to win the football game! He ran the missed field goal back! He ran it back 109 yards! They're not going to keep him off the field tonight!
Road, home, dirt, grass, it don't matter. Just give us that opportunity. That's the fire that is within us.
First down at 10, just inside of midfield. Here's Cam on the fake, right up the middle, breaks a tackle at the 40, stays on his feet, 35, 30, 25, 20. Peterson, the one man to beat, at the 5, he is in! Touchdown, Auburn! Flash that smile, Cam.
Waits for the snap into place. There it is, the kick is up, the kick is good! Auburn wins! 22-19!
Tiger Talk Overtime is presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, join us on the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line. Send us a message on WarEagleTV.com, on our X page, at TV_WarEagle. Now, the host of Tiger Talk Overtime, Doug Holton.
And good evening, everyone. War Eagle, and welcome to the show. Glad you're with us for the next hour. It's going to be an exciting time. We're going to talk some Auburn football as the Tigers get ready for Kentucky, and hopefully the first SEC victory of the year at Jordan-Hare Saturday night. And also basketball coming up at the bottom of the hour in Atlanta. We'll talk hoops a little bit, hear from Stephen Pearl, and also Brian Brinsfield joining us in the second half hour to talk some more football. Kevin Fichtner in just a minute. First of all, I want to get you to Coach Hugh Freeze after practice today, talking about the quarterback situation and a little bit about Kentucky Saturday night.
A lot of good stuff from both of them. That's kind of been what practice is like, though. And so it's obviously we believe in both of them, but you've got to give, you got to hopefully give us the spark we need to win, and we got to figure out exactly what that is. Jackson's been incredible on those drive ones. So we'll get together probably tomorrow and make a decision. This is a dangerous team coming in here and who are playing better football on offense than they were earlier in the year, and they stopped the run. So it's a scary team. So we need to go a little further in the details. We still had a lot of things last week that, you watch on tape, but man, we can do better, and we've got to demand that we do it.
All right, Kevin Fichtner joining us on the horn now to talk some Auburn football and basketball. And Kevin, you heard Coach Freeze there. The injury situation, it looks like Brandon Frazier is good. Cam Coleman is iffy. Malcolm a little iffy. Jay Crawford looks like he may not even play Saturday against Kentucky. But it's a game that we need to continue the winning ways and get a home SEC win, as Coach Freeze mentioned.
That's right, Doug. I guess we got a little banged up last week in Arkansas. If there was any game to have questionable players injury-wise, it would be this game or a Mercer. So it worked out that it's not Vanderbilt. It's not Bama. So if there's any game to have a questionable player or two, it's this one. So because Kentucky's not very good. We're not great, but our defense is. And it's a night game. And Jordan Hare, probably our last night game of the year, possibly, unless Bama gets switched. It's going to be cold. So dress in layers.
Yeah.
I know I will be wearing my toboggan and multiple jackets, but I think the crowd will be excited to support their team and hopefully get this win against Kentucky.
Yeah.
And the question at quarterback remains, but I think we know who the better game manager is from what we saw last week, and we think we might know who it's going to be. But
yeah, I think Stoops certainly is preparing for both, but a little surprised that he hasn't picked Ashton this week. Aren't you? Because it
Why
seems like the
you?
Obvious
yeah.
choice. And
yeah,
what's the downside?
Yeah, there is no downside because when he came into the game last week, we were losing. And when we ended the game, we were winning.
Basketball in a little bit here coming up in Atlanta as the Tigers take on Memphis in another exhibition. What are you looking for different in Auburn tonight?
Well, this is a rematch of the Maui championship game from last year that was not an exhibition. So I don't know why this one is. It's a big program, and we're a big program. But I'm sure Stephen Pearl has tightened some screws since the Oklahoma State exhibition. And it's going to be exciting for the Auburn fans that are local in Atlanta or the ones that are driving up that can go watch this game. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing it. I don't know if I'll be able to watch it, though, because it's exclusively on War Eagle TV Plus, and I don't know too many folks who have that. But,
how many people have that?
Yeah, I'll be – I don't know what they did, sold their soul to the devil to get that contract, get that game, but I guess I'll be following on my phone the best I can.
We're going
to
update you on WarEagleTV.com on the X page.
That's the real one to watch. Yeah, that's the real one. So I'll be watching for sure. And, you know, Tahad's getting a lot of preseason accolades, and I think he's deserving of it sophomore year. Year, and he's going to be the leader of our offense, one of the leaders. I hope it runs through him. And the sky's the limit for him this year in that Auburn basketball team. But I'm looking forward to a good game. You know, hopefully we'll get a high-scoring game like last game, and we'll see how what changes Stephen Pearl might have made since the Oklahoma State game.
Yes, it's a good night, Saturday night, Kevin. It's as you mentioned, it's going to be cool. So
yeah.
It's a good night to go by Big Mike's Steakhouse and get you a steak. I've gotten a couple steaks this year, so I was thinking I might try that chicken teriyaki this weekend. You know, you get the teriyaki sauce and the grilled pineapple on top, and maybe some of the Cajun rice to go with it, broccoli. Who knows what we might do, but what a great night to go by Big Mike's Steakhouse this weekend in Auburn or wherever you might be. Check out their locations on Big Mike's Steakhouse. .com. And then, Kevin, I was thinking maybe after the game or at the end of the game, you could drop back by Big Mike's and get a bowl of their great soup on a cold night in Auburn.
Yes, that'd be good. And they do have outside seating, covered seating with heaters. So if you do go outside, if they're packed on the inside, you can go to the outside and still stay warm and watch the TVs. But yeah, on a night like Saturday night when it's going to be low 40s, maybe upper 30s, it would be nice to go after the game and get a tasty beverage with that tasty soup or whatever else you might get. Maybe get a little dessert.
That is right. Go by and see them this weekend. Big Mike's Steakhouse. See all the locations at BigMikeSteakhouse.com. All right, thanks, Kevin. We'll be back to talk some basketball and hear from Stephen Pearl, the head coach of the Tigers, as they get ready for tip-off in Atlanta at the bottom of the hour. Stay here.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Wiltu, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, join us on the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line. Send us a message on WarEagleTV.com, on our X page, at TV_WarEagle. Now, back to Doug Holton.
All right, thanks very much. Welcome back to the show, everyone. Time to talk a little bit of Auburn basketball right now as the Tigers are about to take the court in their second exhibition of the 25-26 season tonight against Memphis in Atlanta at State Farm Arena. It should be an entertaining ball game. Memphis with a loss to Arkansas, I think, on Monday of this week, but they were ahead in the first half. We'll talk more about that in a minute. But first of all, Coach Stephen Pearl at the mic this week, earlier this week, talking about his team, the Auburn Tigers, his first year as head coach, of course. And Coach Pearl talked about what he has learned after the Oklahoma State game in Birmingham, the Tigers losing that one, a close game in overtime. But 2 weeks to prepare for Memphis after that and to get better as an Auburn team. And Coach Pearl talked about that a little bit earlier this week. Let's listen into that.
A lot of the mistakes that we made were very correctable, which I thought for us as a staff and for our players was encouraging. And, you know, when we forced Oklahoma State in the direction that we wanted to send them in, they'd either miss a shot or they turned it over. And two or three times when they made tough shots, you know, you got to tip your cap and you got to get back. The problem was 75-80% of the time, you know, we allowed them to go left and they were able to finish. You look at Memphis. Memphis has got two or three guys on their roster that are noticeably quicker than anyone that Oklahoma State had. So, you know, we've done a lot of work this week just on our closeouts, on our stance, our attention to detail, being more in gaps. And, you know, I thought, you know, since the 15th, we've had some really good practices, and I think we've gotten better in those areas. You know, but at the same time, you're going against a scout team, you know, that's not like Memphis, right? It's hard to replicate that speed and that quickness, so you really won't be able to see how much we've grown until we get out there and actually do it. You know, I wish football could loan us some of those DBs that they have so they could close out and guard somebody and sit down and get in a stance. You kind of saw what they did to Arkansas, you know, this past weekend. Unbelievable effort by our football team, you know, in some really tough adversity going out there and winning a big game. But, you know, I think our guys have responded well to it. It was just great to get exposed. You know, that's what you want more than anything in these scrimmages, is to be exposed and to kind of see where some of your weaknesses are, and for our guys to see, all right, you know, we got some things that we got to work on. So they've been good. They've been accountable. They've been locked in, and obviously just really excited for another great opportunity against another really good team on Thursday.
Okay, and oddly enough, no radio or television except for War Eagle Plus, if you get that. And talking to many of my friends, they don't get that, and it hasn't been a tremendous amount of interest, I don't think, in War Eagle Plus. But we will keep you updated on the score on our X page. If you'd like to join us, go to WarEagleTV.com, WarEagleTV.com, and join our X page. It is at TV_WarEagle. If you're just going to X or Twitter, it is at TV_WarEagle. And we'll keep you up to date on the score tonight if you're interested in the ball game, Auburn and Memphis. Coach Pearl also talked earlier this week a little bit more about this Memphis team, which is pretty aggressive. As we mentioned, they played Arkansas on Monday night, which gave Auburn a pretty good look. And the Memphis team is pretty aggressive on defense. More from Coach Pearl here on tonight's game.
Memphis is really going to get after us with ball pressure. I don't know if you guys watched the game last night, but I mean, they're up 15 on Arkansas, and it was a tale of two halves. They were the harder playing, more physical team the first 20, and then it kind of flipped on them in the second half. But their ball pressure is going to be, you know, obviously something that'll bother us, and it's something that our guys have to do a good job of handling with composure and, you know, not letting it, you know, force us into turnovers or force us to speed up. So, you know, executing our stuff, being more physical offensively, I think is something that we've really harped on over these last few weeks. Limiting our turnovers, which we did a good job of against Oklahoma State, but I think we shot it before we turned it over against Oklahoma State. So, you know, just executing a little bit more. And then obviously, you know, we missed 14 free throws. So spending some more time, you know, in competitive free throw shooting in practice and stuff like that. So, you know, transition defense is going to be really important like it was in the Oklahoma State game. A couple areas that, you know, we got to spend more time on, which we have been, is just our under OB defense and our pressure defense. We didn't do a great job in either one of those areas against Oklahoma State. And I think, you know, today specifically, we'll spend more time on that, just trying to get prepared for a really quick and a really, you know, heavy guard-oriented Memphis group.
Steve, you talked about it before, but how valuable are these experiences with so many new guys to be able to play at Oklahoma State and now Memphis, different styles, and just to get you ready for a season?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's not just valuable for our players, but it's valuable for us as coaches, you know. There was a couple things that going into the game that we really hadn't discussed, and I talked to a few of my peers, and you know, they all said the same things. Like, you wouldn't believe how many things when you get into a game like these scrimmages and these exhibitions, like, oh crap, we haven't even gone over this yet. So we're not the only ones, thankfully, that felt that way. So it's good for us as coaches to kind of learn about some of the things that we got to clean up, get a little more organized with. But our players, obviously, we get film against two really good teams before we have to play a really good Bethune-Cookman team. So it's huge to be able to learn from and get really good film against a really good team so early in the season. You know, the fact that, you know, we're doing this in college now, I'm not sure why we weren't doing this years ago. It's just it's so beneficial for everyone to be able to play against, you know, real competition, not the EA Sports All-Stars, you know. So it's been great for our guys. And, you know, it's been great because you're able to watch, like, good basketball right now, you know, watching Kentucky and Purdue, watching Michigan, St. John's, you know, watching Memphis, Arkansas, you know, has been really good for us as coaches, but also for as players kind of get prepared for the upcoming season.
Student Philip obviously arrives later. He's never played the American game, and you know, it's a lot, I know, to process. How have you seen him, especially these last couple weeks after getting some of that experience against Oklahoma State, how he's kind of starting to come on?
He's just got phenomenal instincts. Like, he just understands, like, where the ball is at all times. Like, shot would go up, you'd be amazed how many times Philip's hands would touch the ball. Now, he's got to secure it with two hands a little more often and be strong with it, because they're coming to poke it out, and obviously the speed and the quickness is an adjustment for him. But, you know, he picked up on everything we did very quickly. So his understanding and his understanding of the game, his understanding of where he needs to be on the floor, where to find the open spots on the floor, we got to do a better job offensively of getting him the ball, you know, in short roll situations, because, you know, in deep roll he's not going to be as good because he's 6'8". You know, while he's a good athlete, you know, he's going to be playing against 6'11 and 7 foot, you know, giants in there. So we got to put him in better positions, you know, specifically when he sets a ball screen, getting into the short roll, because he's a pretty good passer, or he could just go catch it and be quick and go rip and finish at the rim. So been really impressed with Phillip. You know, he's a guy that just wants to win basketball games and just wants to do what he can to help, but we got to do a better job of getting him more involved on the offensive end, because he's doing everything that he needs to do, you know, defensively, rebounding, and along those things to obviously continue to help us get better.
All right, Coach Pearl talking about Filip Jović from Bosnia and Herzegovina, the 6'8 freshman who should help the Tigers quite a bit this year from the perimeter and driving the basket as well. We'll look to see more from him in the coming games. Again, the game coming up at 7:30 Central Time in Atlanta, Georgia. We'll keep you up to date on the score and some of the stats on our X page on WarEagleTV.com. Again, our X page is @TV_WarEagle if you want to join us there for some info on tonight's game. When we come back, we're going to talk some more Auburn football, Auburn and Kentucky this weekend. Former Tiger Brian Brensfield on the Horizon Financial Halftime Report. When we come back, stay right here.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, join us on the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line. Send us a message on WarEagleTV.com, on our X page, @TV_WarEagle. Now, back to Doug Holton.
And it's time for the Horizon Financial Halftime Report, brought to you by Horizon Financial. Come with us and experience the Horizon difference. Go by and see Coach Henry Hardy, our good friend, across from the Eastern Shore Center in Daphne, right outside of Timber Creek today. All right, welcome back, everyone. Time to talk some more Auburn football now as the Tigers get ready for Kentucky on Saturday night at 6:30 Central Time. And Brian Brensfield, former Auburn Tiger, is here to chat with us a little bit about the ball game. Brian, good to have you with us. And it's been an interesting week since we visited last time. Several things have happened. The Tigers, I guess the hot seat has cooled a little bit for Hugh Freeze, maybe. But certainly the hot seat heated up for Brian Kelly at LSU. So interesting times in college football with all the midseason firings and buyouts and all that we have to talk about.
Hey, we got to win.
Yeah.
War Eagle. The buyouts, I mean, the firings and buyouts and
whatever, oh my, or have been a little crazy. But, you know, even a win doesn't make you safe. Who was it? Napier at Florida went in and beat Mississippi State, was it? And then got fired the next day.
Yeah, so, and that was kind of a – safe. I think they kind of knew that ahead of time because – he had already lost three games or four games, and they had an off week. So, yeah.
Yeah. Plus, the U-Haul in front of his house was a good indication.
Yeah. But anyway, it was a good – it was a win for Auburn, we'll say that. And obviously Arkansas and us and Kentucky are all toward the bottom of the standings right now. So, good effort by the defense last week.
Yeah,
got some turnovers in the fourth quarter, which was big. Rayshon, what does that mean to the team? Do you think to get a win? Were they inspired, or did they just want to come home, or what would you be thinking at that point?
No, I think it gave them a little bit of hope. You know, they had to have wanted it, and they fought. I think they didn't play great in the first half, so they could have folded. They had to bring your second string quarterback in. So, you know, they had some things that they could have maybe turned the other way and kind of folded up and went back to Auburn, but they didn't. They kept fighting, and that's what you want to see out of a good team or a team. So I think those kids still have fight in them, and they still want to win and have that desire. And I think you'll see that desire come Saturday, but you know, it just shows how they handle adversity. I thought Ashton came in a pretty pressure filled situation, and handled that situation pretty good, but we still got a lot of things to clean up and work on.
Yeah, no question about it. And that's one of the interesting topics, I guess, this week. Hugh Freeze didn't announce a starting quarterback on Monday. So I think it's going to be – I don't think it's going to be a game-time decision, but I think Ashton Daniels is your guy after last week.
Probably.
He spoke to the press this week. Jackson did not. So that's probably a pretty good indication. What did you think? Do you think they'll go with Ashton the rest of the way? Do you think Hugh Freeze will say, well, Ashton's not doing so well, maybe I should try Jackson again in this situation, or back and forth, or do they stay with him the rest of the four games we have left?
I think it's pretty fluid. It was a quick pull the other day on Jackson, because even in coach's press conference, he said, you know, talking about the two of them, he said, well, Jackson played great until the interception. So you make one mistake and you get pulled.
Well, I think he had been thinking about it the past couple of weeks. So
it's been stewing. You can see the tension kind of on the sidelines, I think, too.
Yeah.
Between the two of them. You saw it last year, the last 2 years with him and Peyton.
Seems to be kind of a tradition we have.
A little bit, but again, it's not probably all Jackson's fault. You know, we've talked about the offensive line, things like that, deficiencies there. Will he stay with him? I don't think. Let me ask you this: Is Ashton a senior?
He is a senior. Yes.
So he can't redshirt.
He can redshirt, but he's played in one game, and we have four left. So
he can't play in all the games.
He'd have to sit out a game the rest of the way.
So what do you do there? Do you put in Jackson? Do you put in Deuce against Mercer? What do you do there?
I don't know. I was actually looking at the roster earlier today, looking at the guy, and I can't recall his name right now. The guy that came in as a walk-on?
Yeah.
You know, maybe you can't put Deuce in there, really, against Mercer. That would be
– Although he did say in his press conference he'll get some snaps. Now, I think he misspoke.
Yeah. He kind of changed his answer there, didn't he?
Yeah, I don't think Deuce will get some snaps. I thought it was very telling, though. He said when he was asked the question about Deuce, is Deuce, because he used the word both, talking about Ashton and Jackson. Yeah. And then he said, Ashton Jackson. He said, well, and then he was asked the question, well, does that negate Deuce? Does that take Deuce out of there? Because you just said two. And he said, well, I guess, yeah. But then he started talking about Deuce, and he said, you won't see a better arm. And then he starts sniffling and coughing and talking about Deuce and his – he said Deuce will be the quarterback of the future. But when he was talking about, you know, what he's got to do to get there, and I think we're – you know, I don't I think we're talking about maybe quarterback IQ or handling the offense is what I'm guessing because if his arm is there. And I don't think it's a lack of athletic talent.
Right.
I just don't know if he's got a handle on the offense.
Well, and in the game that he did play this year, Ball State, I think, he got in there for a little bit and didn't look like he was really ready to play, honestly. He may have improved a lot since then, but frustrating. But, I know. Go ahead.
No, I was going to just say to that point about being ready to play, I did think when Ashton came in, he took a big, deep breath, and I thought he was ready to play.
Yeah.
There was Freeze was asked also, is there anything about the playbook that you have to take out when you put in Daniels? He said, no, zero. He knows 100% of the playbook, and I feel comfortable with that. But I thought Ashton Daniels looked really comfortable, especially on that first drive. Did he make some mistakes? Yeah, but that's really the first time he's played against, and it was a close ball game at that point.
Yeah. And a lot of people talk about the Arkansas win and maybe we could win out. Maybe we could go 8-4. You know, maybe Hugh Freeze is safe until next year. And I listened to that talk. And then, you know, talking about Ashton and Jackson and Peyton last year, the things that stick out to me on the other side of the argument for Hugh Freeze, which is what a lot of people are talking about, is almost every quarterback that he's gone after has been a flop.
Yeah.
And Ashton, honestly, was, I think, meant to be a last resort because he mentioned Deuce was the second quarterback early on the season. And he said in his press conference, because Ashton got there late in the summer is why that was. But anyway, that sticks out to me. And also we are 15th in the conference in total offense, which Hugh Freeze is an offensive guy.
Right.
And we are 16th in the conference in passing. About middle of the pack in the run game. So Hugh Freeze, I think, prefers the pass over the run. So anyway, those are the two things that stick out to me about the coaching situation right now.
Yeah. I think he's renamed it the PRO, right? The pass run option. it's just we're not developing the talent we have, and then you have to let's even put it go even deeper. Will Deuce Knight stay? Will Jackson Arnold stay? If he doesn't play another snap this year, does Jackson Arnold stay?
Why would he?
Does Deuce Knight stay?
Not sure. What about Cam Coleman?
Does Cam Coleman? Does Eric Singleton?
About that. Yeah.
Does Eric Singleton stay? Does Horatio? Does do any? I mean, it's a free for all, and
the reason it's a free for all is because for the receivers, at least, and I guess somewhat for the quarterbacks, is we have not gotten. You know, the boosters that gave Hugh Freeze the $2 or $3 million and said, "Go get a quarterback." Yeah. They've got to be sitting in their easy chair just thinking, what in the world did he do? Right.
Yeah.
Right. Especially, now, we don't have a quarterback.
Yeah. Especially when Lane Kiffin goes out and gets a Division II quarterback and they're number six.
Yeah.
And then we played the Heisman Trophy leader in the clubhouse right now at Cal 2 years ago. And you can't tell me he was higher in the portal than Jackson or Mateer at Oklahoma. I mean, he couldn't have cost half of what those guys, you know, were valued, NIL value.
Yeah, and I continually think about Pavia.
And then there's Diego Pavia.
After they beat us at
which time?
Mexico State.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. Before they transferred.
Right.
So why didn't we not think about that?
Yeah.
You know?
Or the offensive coordinator.
What a great I mean, what a heady kid, and you know, a guy who just makes plays.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that just shows you too, evaluation of talent.
Exactly. That's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Is it? Are coaches just looking at? And I'm being honest. I'm being a little facetious, but I'm also being honest. Are coaches just looking at On Three and Rivals and looking at their rankings of quarterbacks and tackles and running backs and their valuation? Or are they? I know they look at tape of them, but you know, how are we getting it so wrong?
Yeah,
and other teams are getting it so right.
Or the other thing I think about is it that hard to get a quarterback to come to Auburn right now because of the situation we're in the last 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, it very well could be true. I did see an article the other day, and they were assessing the incoming freshmen in the of quarterbacks in the SEC, and they went through I think there were maybe 18 of them, and ranked them. Obviously, the kid out of Nebraska, I think it was Omaha, Nebraska, who's going to Alabama, he was number one. Vanderbilt had two of the top five.
Yeah.
Okay. And our quarterback, Peyton, another Peyton, starts with the F. I can't remember his last name. Dead last.
Uh-huh.
Out of their evaluation. So out of all the incoming freshman quarterback out of high school that have committed or signed with SEC teams, again, are we just missing the boat on evaluation of talent? Are we not developing the talent? If Deuce has got one of the best arms the man's ever seen, what are we getting wrong? What did we get wrong with Jackson? I don't know. What did we get wrong with Peyton? Why did we keep him in? Who knows?
I want to take a minute to tell you about Henry Hardy and Horizon Financial, a company built on knowledge, personal service, and integrity. Henry Hardy has over 32 years in financial services. Henry Hardy is a SmartVestor Pro utilizing Dave Ramsey's investing principles, and that tells me a lot. If you're looking for wealth management, retirement planning, call Henry Hardy and Horizon Financial, 251-625-2220, located across from the Eastern Shore Center at 1 Timber Way, Suite 100 in Daphne, Alabama. Securities and investment advisory services offered through Sage Point Financial Incorporated, SPF, member FINRA, SIPC. Working with an advisor who subscribes to the SmartVestor Pro Network cannot guarantee investment success or that financial goals will be achieved. Advisors pay a fee to belong to the SmartVestor Pro program. Dave Ramsey and the Dave Ramsey SmartVestor Pro program are not affiliated with Sage Point Financial Incorporated and are not sponsored or endorsed by Sage Point Financial Incorporated.
Well, we've had now, I think in what Hugh Freeze said at the press conference, no doubt that Deuce is the future of Auburn football. And we've had two of those now, right? We had Walker White.
5-star.
Now we have Deuce.
5-star.
And I don't know. I don't know what the problem is. Is it evaluation? Is it development? I mean, the guy's a freshman. Walker White was a freshman.
Right.
He was the future of Auburn football. And then all of a sudden, this guy's not quite up to speed. You know, he can't read a defense. So, right. But I don't know. That points to evaluation to me.
Right.
I would think.
Right. It very well could. Because you have freshmen that have stepped in other places and done decent.
A lot. Yeah.
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 Especially in this day and age where they don't stick around very long, but they want to play and you're going to let them.
Yeah. All right. Enough about quarterbacks, Auburn is a 10.5 point favorite. I think at last check,
where you going to put your
Kentucky
money?
Kentucky Wildcats this weekend. I'm not touching that with a 10 foot pole. What do you think?
Me either. 10 points. I don't see 10 points on the board because go back and we talked about this off air a little bit. I mean, Kentucky hadn't scored much in the double digits. I mean, higher than what, 15 have they? Very much, except the
last
ball game.
Yeah.
But Tennessee's defense is horrific.
But like you mentioned, they played
in the game with Texas and Georgia and Ole Miss, I think.
I mean, but they were low scoring ball games.
Right.
So are they going to keep us? Are they going to hold us to low points? Or are we going to be able to score on them? I don't know. I mean, Georgia wasn't able to. Ole Miss wasn't able to with their offense, and neither was Texas. But you don't know what you're going to get out of Texas. So who knows? Who knows?
Going to be an interesting game, but at least we're going to have some football weather Friday night or right. Saturday night, not Friday night at Jordan-Hare. It's going to be the low that night, which won't come till the next morning, would be about 43 or 45 degrees, whatever they're saying now.
Probably be in the low 50s at game time.
Yeah, 55 or something.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
So
which is great football weather.
Be comfortable anyway.
Yeah. So and you in Kentucky, one thing. Kirby Smart said this when they played them. One thing you're going to get from a Stoops-led football team, you're going to get somebody who's in there for a fight. You know they're going to run the ball. They're going to run the ball and play good defense and just good, clean football. So you've got that to look forward to. It's not going to be a lot of trickery. It's not going to be a lot of eye candy. They're just going to line up and they're going to say, okay, we're going to beat you. We're going to try to beat you. And are you man enough to beat us back? And play ball that way. They've always been like that, and so you know we only played them once while I was there, but they weren't in the SEC for only that one year. So,
yep. Hey, let's come back and talk about Xavier Atkins, who's having a heck of a year at Auburn, and we'll take a look at some of the other games around the SEC in just a minute. Visiting with Brian Brensfield, back on the show in just a few minutes. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Wiltu, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, join us on the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line. Send us a message on WarEagleTV.com, on our X page, at TV_WarEagle. Now, back to Doug Holton.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Talking some Auburn football for the last segment here. Brian Brensfield is with us, former Auburn Tiger and national championship team of 1993. Brian, good to have you again. And before the break, we mentioned Xavier Atkins. What a season he is having. Player of the week this week after 13 tackles last weekend against Arkansas. He seems to be doing it every week now.
Yeah.
And what a solid performer he is. Become for DJ Durkin.
Yeah. He kind of, on my radar, he kind of showed up on the, at the Oklahoma game and just had a phenomenal game there. And ever since then, it seems like he's everywhere. Just makes so many good plays, in the backfield, covering people, you know, covering backs out of the backfield, covering slot receivers. He's everywhere. I mean, what did you say? 13 tackles, and I'm sure he was in on a couple more.
And I think the most since Owen Papo back in whatever year that was, 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
So having an outstanding year, and hopefully that'll continue this weekend. Also, Rayshon Pleasant was named, I think, special teams player of the week this week, and
had a good return.
Yeah. To a nice return last week and two big interceptions in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. And I think that was big for us to set up our offense and not be in a hole, but those returns were pretty big for us to have short fields and do something with them on offense. Coach Freeze talked about our red zone opportunities and what we've done with our red zone. One thing that I did want to ask you about is, He did mention, we haven't talked about this, you and I, but he did mention what we've done with our script and with our first series, if you remember that in the press conference. And he said, we've done really well in our first series in the last 3 or 4 ball games. Why can't we replicate that in the second, third, and fourth, fifth series? Now, we have a couple times in the second series, but why can't we just replicate that? I don't know.
When you say replicate, what do you mean? Script the whole thing? Or?
No. Why? Well, I mean, We can't script the whole game, but why can't we execute what we've executed in the first series or second series and done really well? Why can't we execute those plays on down the line? And it seems like we play one good half of football, but we can't put together a whole game. So yeah. We either play a good first half or a good second half. But if we can put together a first one or two drives, why can't we put together a good third and fourth and fifth and sixth and seventh drive?
I don't know. That's a good question. Consistency, people taking care of their responsibility every play. I don't know. Makes me think of Cale Ellis at center. Just thinking of the game he had at Arkansas last week as a true freshman, playing really well.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. And teams adjust. I mean, as a coach, I know that people make adjustments, and that's what you do. It's a chess match.
But in the first half, you ought to be able to keep that consistency going, right?
You should be able to. I mean, you're going to be able to make slight adjustments on the sideline before halftime. At halftime, you can make some decent adjustments. But again, it comes down to execution. And if you're executing at a high level, and having these long sustained drives, you should be able to do that and replicate that consistently at some point.
And Freeze has been doing this long enough where he ought to be able to think on the fly and think, well, we just ran that. Now we ought to run this.
Yeah,
play set up this play. You know,
that's exactly right. It's about setting up the next play or setting up plays 15, 10 down the line, trying to get something set up, trying to get a cornerback to bite on something so you can then run a go route on top of that, on top of the slant or something like that. But it's just something that came in my head.
The other interesting thing to me, I tweeted this earlier in the week, it's interesting, it's puzzling to me, some Auburn people, they – wanted Hugh Freeze to call the plays the first year when we had an offensive coordinator, and then now he's calling the plays, and now they don't want him to call the plays. So
fans are going to be fans. I guess we all figure that one out. Yeah, all want it's the whole dilemma of or the whole thing about we always want the backup quarterback to play.
Yeah,
when Stan was there, everybody wanted Patrick. When Patrick was playing, they wanted Damian. And when Peyton was there last year, they wanted all the other 16 quarterbacks we had. And, when Jackson was there a couple games this year, they wanted the other quarterback. So it's, I know we've what they don't have.
We visited a little bit on Sunday, I think, about, Bo Nix with the Broncos and, what a season they are having on top of their division and what a combination that seems to be becoming. Sean Payton and Bo Nix at quarterback, they really seem to mesh together this year.
Yeah, and I think it really goes back to Dan Lanning and what he accomplished there at Oregon, and I think it's just an extension. What Sean has done at Denver is just taken what Lanning did at Oregon and just expanded it a little bit. You know, he's just taken Bo's natural ability, which is number one, to get out of the pocket, number two, to throw accurately short and intermediate range balls. But then what does that do to the defense? It brings him up. And if you've noticed lately in his games, he's been throwing the deep ball pretty good, 25 yards, 30, 35 yards, pretty decent.
Yeah.
And then they've just got a really good defense. So they're stressing every team they play out. But it's fun to watch. It's fun to watch them play. I think Patrick and I are going to try to go out and, you know, Bo's brother Tez is with the Tampa Bay Bucks, and they play on a Thursday night in November, and then Bo plays on a Sunday. So I think the plan is we're hopefully going to try to go to Tampa and see Tez, and then fly out to Colorado and see Bo.
Wow, sounds fun.
Yeah.
We'll get to these games quickly here, but. Some people are mentioning Lanning for LSU. We got the Florida job open. You got any favorites on those two?
I still think Kiffin for Florida. I don't know why I would.
Yeah.
I would think Lanning would be absolutely an idiot to leave Oregon and Nike and everything he's got up there. Why would you? Florida's a trap. You can't, unless you win a national championship in the first 3 or 4 years,
you're a failure. Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, Kiffin can win 8 or 9 games for the rest of his career at Ole Miss and they'll name the stadium or the field after him. So why would you leave? And they'll probably pay him to stay. LSU, it's going to be a really interesting coaches carousel, because then you got to fill all the vacancies from people that are filling the vacancies.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't have any favorites.
Yeah. They're talking about 13 point something million at Florida for Kiffin is what somebody put out there. So I thought it would be more than that, honestly. Anyway, there's some games, good ones this weekend. The early game is Vandy. They keep rolling.
Yeah.
At Texas this weekend. And some rumors about Sark even this week, putting some feelers out for the National Football League.
Yeah. The season he's had this year, you might want to get out of Texas. I mean, they were ranked number one going into the season. And I don't know if you saw Game Day or not, but, you know, the guy, the comedian from Nashville, Bargatze, says he's been on the road so much. He said, I'm just going to pick Texas because they're ranked number one. He said he thought they were still ranked number one, but I guess that wasn't very funny. Anyway, I'll pick Vandy. I wouldn't bet against them for my life right this second.
Yeah. Yeah. I would go along with that. The cocktail party in Jacksonville, Georgia, and Florida. I think the Dogs will take that one.
No doubt.
We got Mississippi State at Arkansas. Mississippi State's playing pretty well right now.
And they were, and they had a chance to beat Texas last week and just blew that. So I'm going to take Mississippi State on this game.
I would take them as well. South Carolina also blew it last week, and yep. They're at Ole Miss this week. So the tough games continue for the Gamecocks.
Yeah, I'll take Ole Miss there.
I would take Ole Miss.
South Carolina played Texas last week, didn't they?
They played Alabama.
They played Alabama. That's right.
Yeah. And maybe we were talking before, maybe the best game of the weekend is Oklahoma-Tennessee.
Yeah.
So a colorful matchup.
Yeah. A really good defense in Oklahoma and a really good offense with no defense at Tennessee. So it should be a pretty decent ball game. I'm going to go ahead and I don't know where it is, but I'll take Tennessee.
It is at Tennessee, and I'm going to take the Sooners on that one. Their coach says they're better than Ole Miss, even after they got beat by them, so I'll take them.
I'll take Rocky Top.
All right, Kentucky and Auburn, again, a 10.5-point line there. Give us your take on the Tigers, Brian, real quick.
I'm going to take Auburn. I'm not going to touch the points, but I'm going to take Auburn to beat Kentucky in a pretty close ball game. Probably going to come down to our kicker. And hopefully he can come through.
What a week for Alex last week, huh? We didn't mention him. Yeah.
Yeah. What, 4 field goals? Was it?
Six.
Six field goals.
Tied the record, yeah. Al Del Greco and Danielson.
Big Al.
Yep.
Yeah. 1983.
I remember that one well. Against Kentucky, I think he did it.
Was it?
Ironically. Yeah. Okay. That we play Kentucky this week. But anyway. All right, we're out of time, Brian, but appreciate you being with us. Enjoy the ball games this weekend, and we'll see you soon, War Eagle.
Thanks, War Eagle, Doug.
All right, Brian Brensfield from the 93 National Championship team with us tonight. Always appreciate his time. Hey, if you want to get the latest on Auburn sports all through the week, join us at WarEagleTV.com, WarEagleTV.com. Join our X page and our YouTube channel, and you'll get the very latest, WarEagleTV.com. That's about all the time we have for this week. Enjoy the ball game right here, everybody. It's Auburn and Kentucky, Saturday night at 6:30. Until next week, Doug Holton, War Eagle, everybody.